And hello again, everyone. I'm Brock Sheridan, and welcome to another edition of the Florida Horse Podcast. And on today's show, we welcome Harlan Malter from Orange County, California. Harlan is the managing partner of one of the more exciting young stallions here in Florida, Bucaro. And welcome aboard.
Thrilled to have to be here with you, Brock, and excited to chat about Bucaro.
Well, I can certainly see why you're excited to talk about Bucaro. He's had exceptional success with his first crop. He's had 10 winners from 26 starters, 6 debut winners, 23% of those on debut. I mean, talk about just some of the excitement of having a stallion that's off to such a great start like that.
Well, it's been great because I've obviously been very active in Florida and the Ocala area since he got there. And he kind of came the untraditional path of a 6-year-old turf sprinter who I think everyone has realized was both very successful on dirt and going 2 turns. And his babies are already showing that. He's already won, you know, of those 10 starters, which is great. I spoke about his versatility. That was one of the big things we talked about. The precociousness made sense, Florida. The mares are great for precocious, but being able to do something on everything. He's already won long, he's already won short, he's already won on turf, synthetic. The ability to have a horse in Florida that can produce that diversity, I think is really something that the breeders saw early that might produce that. And so it's just very exciting and rewarding to see him going that. Obviously, Gulfstream putting a synthetic surface may really be a great thing for us because he's already gotten his stakes winner, and I will put quotes around it. I just got back from Europe where I showed the replay of Anna Monastic's stakes win, and they all wondered where the disqualification was. Their standard is very different there. It's usually if the horse was going to win no matter what, they won't take the horse down. They punt the jockey. In this case, there was a foul. But he was the clear winner. We were very excited. A 2-turn, 2-year-old stakes winner this early. He's already done the sprinting. We've won from 5 furlongs up to 1.70 now. So we're just very, very thrilled. We had such great support. The most rewarding aspect of this, seeing this first crop, is I met so many people. Brock, I met you probably the first day I got down there. And from that, through all the breeders, you know, we've bred to 416 mares. I've kind of been keeping my fingers crossed that all the nice people who put trust in me would have something delivered. And so far, it's Bucaro's come through for me yet again.
Well, Animistic was certainly an impressive winner of the in that stakes race the other day, and he was stakes winner. But boy, his most recent winner, I thought, was very exciting. Adios Buccaneer, going 2 turns on the turf, first time starter. Got in a little bit of trouble at the top of the stretch, and that didn't seem to faze her. Talk about how exciting that race was for you.
Well, it's great. You know, I just got back from, I was actually in Tattersall's buying a mare for Bucaro. And I brought, I got back and I sat down, it's early for us. First race at Tampa is right at breakfast for me in California. And, you know, when you see a horse debuting long on the turf, sometimes the trainers are telling you 2 things. One, they're not very fast, or boy, this horse has some quality, because that is probably the hardest thing to do, to go 2 turns first out of the box. And I have seen this horse. This horse actually went through the July Fastic sale. Very nice looking horse. Grew into really a 2-turn type looking horse. So I was excited for the spot. And, you know, the horse went off at 14-1. I think that's what's really neat about the Bucaro babies. I think we had a Take Care of Business one at 66-1. Adios Buccaneer one at 14-1. A lot of times you see sale horses show up, and you know, when a $600,000 2-year-old wins its debut, you know, I think there's more relief. It should be winning its debut. So I think it's nice when they're super overachieving. But he did everything right. It was just a neat, like you said, it was a neat race story. It wasn't an easy spot. He rated, when asked, he had a real nice turn of foot. So again, to see a 2-turn Bucaro, I've told this to the breeders, and I'm glad Bucaro is delivering for me. That general meeting, bottom side, is a lot different than say his 3/4 World of Trouble, who's a Valid Expectations, and even Cantheros, who, you know, is really kind of known for sprinting. We're really hoping General Meeting, who out in California was a superstar, had right. Come to Kentucky, I think he'd be a name everybody knew much more about. And I think that General Meeting is really leading to a lot of 2-turn success for the Bucaros.
Well, another thing, we talked about the versatility of the Vaquero babies. You talk about synthetic, you talk about turf, you talk about two turns, you talk about the main track. But another exciting winner was Clay Soldier, who won in a driving rainstorm. So there's another quality that they seem to have, is that they can run on and off track as well.
Well, I'll make this a quick one. And we didn't even talk about this, but you led me into something I used to say to the breeders. I said, Vaquero ran 31 times at 13 racetracks, including flying to England and running straight off Lasix as a 6-year-old. And the line I used to say, and I still say it, you could have put him in the parking lot, set up a string gate and told him to run 2 miles and he'd try it. That's just the type of horse he is. So when it is interesting because when you own a lot of horses, some of them really like to have it their own way. And they don't, they kind of, they don't put the effort in. And quick story, again, another breeder, Dr. Cornelius Link, who's an older gentleman who was very dedicated to horses. He's somebody I've been friendly with right from the start. And to see his horse come, he kept the horse. He put it in a good spot. But boy, you could barely see. And this horse just tapped her on the shoulder, the top of the stretch, and off she was. That's really what I'm liking about the Vaqueros, that he has passed that on. They're not all going to be the biggest. They're not all going to be the prettiest. They're all going to be the fastest. That's just not what happens. But if they all have that will to win, you can do a lot of fun things with the horses.
Oh, absolutely. They're all competitors. Todd Chero's another horse that I think is a fun horse to watch. He hasn't got that stakes victory just quite yet, but he's right there every time. He's won. Help me out here. He's run at what, 4 different racetracks?
Yeah, I think he's run at 4 different racetracks, possibly 5 now. He ran at Fairfax, ran a very quality third in an A, other than to a very nice Brad Cox horse and a Brett Calhoun horse over the weekend. 3-time stakes placed. Ran second to Tyler's Tribe, who ran in the Breeders' Cup, who was a very promising juvenile, who I think is coming back this weekend at Oaklawn. Again, put him on the van. I talked to the owner, Mark Norman, great guy. It's just so exciting to be able to, the owners, I stay in touch with almost everybody that I can. And I talk to Mark all the time, and they travel. They were at Fairgrounds. They were at Remington. And, again, what's horse ownership? If you know you can put a horse in the gate and they are going to try for you, as a horse owner, that's all you. They may not be a stakes horse, but they're going to give the effort. And like I said, that's what gave me confidence on standing Vaquero and promising something to breeders, that I was there with this horse. This horse didn't care where it was or when it was. He was going to try, and that's really an intangible that you can't pick up at sales.
Well, now talk about, you briefly mentioned that you're at Tattersall's. Did you pick up anything while you're over there?
We did. We sent over, I've stayed in touch with a lot of people. COVID hit post Vaquero running in the King Stand at Ascot. I've been over multiple times. I've gone to Royal Ascot. I tremendously enjoy it. I think European racing is a ton of fun. And believe it or not, Cantheros is a known entity over there. I see some of them at the Breeze Up sale. So that's really been where I've been leading to, is I'd like to get a Vaquero over there. And I thought the best case would be to have European bloodlines to Vaquero. And then maybe take that baby over and put it through a Breeze Up sale, or try to get to Ascot the old fashioned way. So we ended up actually purchasing a mare. We were either going to buy one immediately to breed or hopefully to race a little bit. So we actually ended up buying a filly through my racing syndicate. So it actually shares available, which is exciting for people. We're going to campaign her. She was actually bred and owned by the Queen. In fact, her last race, she lost by a dirty nose. It was the day the Queen died, and I actually met the trainer at Tattersall's, and he said he was desperate for her to win. It would have been the last winner for the Queen, and I have the video on the website, and she had it won every step and just got nipped. I'm concerned. I wonder about the jockey on the horse that beat the Queen's horse on the day of her death, if anyone chatted with him about how that all went down. But it's very exciting. So we're going to campaign her. She's going to Mark Cassey. She'll actually be in Ocala. She gets on a plane on the 18th. She'll be in Ocala before Christmas. And I'm hoping to run her at Gulfstream. And then in her future will be a date with Vaquero.
Now, did you mention that there are shares available in her? And if there are,
so
you get involved with the...
Yeah, absolutely. So while managing Vaquero, I also have a racing syndicate called Iron Horse Racing Stable. The website, and that'll be where the information is ihracing.com. Pretty easy. ihracing.com. And... we syndicate ours. We have about 20 horses in our stable. We've had a chunk of success, and we enjoy bringing people into the game and letting them have smaller shares of horses.
I also noticed that you're offering an early bird incentive program for Burquero this year for breeders. I mean, he's bred 400 mares, so we already know that he's quite popular. But talk about that early bird incentive program that you guys are offering this
Absolutely,
year.
absolutely. So until December 31st, we are going to offer $1,000 off his stud fee, which is again continues to be 5,000, which we believe is a real value both in Florida and within nationally for what he's producing. After December 31st, he is going to have a very large chunk of runners between now and probably January. Depending on how they go, the 4,000 is probably going to be a steal, hopefully, in my mind. And I urge people to jump on board. I always like to reward. I was a small breeder before we had Buquero, and I want to give breeders the opportunity to kind of be rewarded for their belief. If they believe Buquero is on the way up, that's a great opportunity to do that. And we'll most likely also, it will end December 31st. But I encourage people to RSVP to the Plessen Acres Stallion Show, which will be January 7th. I will be there, and we'll honor on that night the $4,000 price. It will end
Oh, that's
December
exciting.
31st. So yeah, so call in before December 31st and book your mare. But if you do come on January 7th, hopefully I'll have some more winners to talk about, and I'll honor the 4,000.
Well, I want to talk about one more thing, just real briefly, and that is we've talked about the success that Buquero progeny have had on the racetrack, but he's also had quite a bit of success through the sale ring. He sold, I believe, a couple of 2-year-olds this year in the $150,000 range. But you say there's something else that people should pay attention to when looking at these Buqueros at the sale. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I'll keep it quick, the answer, but it really circles around to what we talked about at the beginning. Having horses that want to run, that when you say, hey, go breeze, they're going to put their heads down and breeze. So at the sale, I actually made some notes before we met. There were 24 that went through the three OBS sales. 18 of the 24 worked 10 or 1 or better, or 20 and 4 or better. 18 of the 24. And at the end of the day, do I say because they all look like secretary? Absolutely not. Were they all perfect? Absolutely not. I basically account for someone taps them on the shoulder, and they know what they want to do. They're willing to do that. And what's great about that, from the sales to today, we're seeing those race results. When you win at a 23% rate and a 26 horse sampling first out, they want to win. And that's what I hope for all of our breeders and all of our owners and all the people that buy at sales. Is just to get horses that'll get you to the track and win races for you.
Well, Harlan, certainly I wanted to thank you for bringing up giving us your time today. I hope that we have the opportunity to talk to you again in the future, and I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about with this sire because he is really one of the more exciting stallions here in the state of Florida. I mean, Florida breeders, anybody that doesn't take a serious look at Buquero is really missing the boat. Before I go, I want to remind all of our viewers that you can read more about Buquero and all of the Florida bred stars in Wire to Wire, and to sign up to receive Wire to Wire for free. It's our daily Thoroughbred Digest, and to receive that for free, you can go to wiredwire.net and click on subscribe, and you can sign up to get Wire to Wire. Harlan, I want to thank you again for joining us today. Continued success, and I guess we'll probably see you in the sales ring and everywhere else, probably at the Stallion Show at Plessen Acres. That's January 7th.
RSVP at Plessen Acres.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Harlan. I appreciate the time and continued success.
Great. Thanks for having me, Brock.
All right, so long, everyone.